Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Connect service. You're all very welcome this morning. If you're here for the first time, you're especially welcome. And we also want to welcome everybody who is joining us on the live stream at home. It's great to have you with us as we worship together. And this year in our Connect services, we're thinking about the theme of the kingdom of God. And today we're going to be contrasting the other-centered love of the kingdom of God, where Christ and other people come first in our priorities. We're going to contrast that with the more selfish approach that's sometimes promoted through things like advertising and social media. That's the sort of thing we're going to be thinking about in our service today. Hopefully on your way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. You'll see most of our regular weekly activities are happening this coming week. I wanted to mention in particular one or two things that don't happen every week, just to draw your attention to them. On Thursday evening at 7:30, the Mothers' Union are going to meet for their opening meeting of the new session. And it's here in the church hall at 7:30. And ladies are going to be assembling toiletries for those who are in hospital. And as we do so, people are invited to bring a contribution towards that if they are free to do so. So that's happening on Thursday evening at 7:30. Also, a notice for those who might be of secondary school age. Next Sunday, from 5:30 to 7, we're going to be partnering with our neighbours in St. John's Orangefield, and they're going to be hosting a kind of a meeting for people of secondary school age in the rectory in St. John's, which is on the grounds of the church. And the topic for next Sunday evening is No to Bullying. That's between 5:30 and 7, and any young people of secondary school age are welcome to that evening. It's in the rectory between 5:30 and 7 on the grounds of St. John's Church on the Castlereagh Road. This coming October, over the course of the month of October, we're partnering with our friends in the Larder Food Bank in preparation for our harvest service, which is on the 22nd of October. So it's about 4 weeks away. And over the next 4 weeks, what we're inviting people to do, if they're in a position to do so, is to bring some tinned goods here to church, which will then be distributed through the Larder Food Bank. And what they're particularly asking us to bring are tinned vegetables, tinned fruit, or tinned fish, things like tuna, sardines, or mackerel, tinned foods, and also custard and rice pudding. Those are the items. So if you're in a position to do so when you're doing your shopping, maybe to bring a tin, we're going to be collecting them in over about the next 4 weeks or so for the food bank, which we're going to be supporting for our harvest service this year. So as we come together to worship God, I'm going to invite everybody, if we could just pray the opening prayer, which you'll see on the screen as we join together and prepare our hearts for worship. We pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. And we're going to stand now to sing our opening song, which really invites us to offer our lives to God afresh. Here I am to worship.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Only you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake became more. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon.
If you'd like to take your seats. Sometimes when we look back on the week that has passed, for some of us it maybe hasn't been the easiest of weeks for all sorts of reasons. And maybe even if we look back on the past day, it hasn't been the easiest of days for all sorts of reasons. So that's why at this point in our service, we take the opportunity just to slow down and to pause and to just bring to mind maybe those times when we haven't been the people God would want us to be. And we're going to take the opportunity now to pray a prayer that seeks his forgiveness and that opportunity which he always gives us to make a fresh start in our lives. We pray together. God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and with one another. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as forgiven people, let's stand and sing our next song, Come People of the Risen King.
The shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to Him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For His perfect love will never change, and His mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Over all the world His people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that Christ through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart,
if you'd like to take your seats again. We're coming to the part in our service now where we're going to hear a reading from God's Word. And today, Elizabeth Walker is going to bring our reading to us from the Gospel of Matthew.
The reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 17 to 28. Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, He took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn Him to death and will turn Him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, He will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of Him. "What is it you want?" He asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those from whom have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thanks be to God.
During the singing of our next song, the children will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to stand together and sing together, "He Will Hold Me Fast."
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, He will hold me fast. He will never keep my hold through life's fearful path. Saves are His delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in His holy sight, He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Has been satisfied, He will hold me fast. Raised with Him to endless life, He will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight, when He comes alive, He will hold me fast.
And now let's stay standing as we affirm our faith in the God who holds us fast, in the words of the creed, which you'll see on the screen.
We believe in God.
We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with the power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And we're going to sing again our next song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin till it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should
just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we ask you to speak into our hearts and into our lives and reveal something more of your love for us this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Over the course of this year, we're thinking in our Connect services about life in the kingdom of God. And we're asking the question, what is it like when you make God the king of your life? When you seek to live by his wisdom and his principles, how does that affect you? How does that affect the world around us? Going to ask Wesley to throw up our first slide. And I don't know this morning if we have any sports fans among us this morning. But if there are, you might have noticed in recent weeks that there's a lot of rugby matches on your television screens. And that is because there's a World Cup going on. And as a sports fan, I was intrigued to read a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes for these elite athletes and all their preparations. And remember, you're to think it and not jinx it. At the last World Cup, for example, apart from a 33-man squad of players, the Ireland team had quite an entourage. They had four people whose job was to look after their logistics and their travel. They had a nutritionist who would liaise with local chefs to make sure that these guys were getting what they needed in terms of nutrients. There were two technical analysts whose job was to take videos of each player and show them where they should be at every moment during a game. There were physios and masseurs who worked from early morning until late at night to keep these guys well and in good shape. There was a kit coordinator who made sure that they were wearing the right gear in training, the right numbers in their matches, the right gear in their matches, advertising their particular sponsors in whichever place they were supposed to be. There was also a team manager, somebody looking after strength and conditioning, specialist coaches for attack and defense, for the scrum. There was a team doctor and a head coach. And so your basic responsibility as one of these elite players was to train, to play, to attend meetings, and all this entourage looked after everything else around your life for the duration of the tournament. Going to ask Wesley to throw up the second slide. What if you were the President of the United States? Every time you needed to go out in the car, a fleet of cars or vehicles would accompany you. There'd be a sweeper, there'd be a route car, there'd be a pilot car, there'd be a lead car, and there'd also be the presidential limousine itself, which is a mobile and armed version of the White House. All the number plates on the vehicles are the same, so no one knows which vehicle you are in. And sometimes they just take the whole lot out to confuse would-be terrorists, and you might not be out at all. Important people in our society, they tend to come with an entourage or with people supporting them, surrounding them, looking after their every need. If I were to speak to somebody who was on the cusp of leaving secondary school, they would very often have something of a life plan. And they might say things like they want to do some traveling. They want to do a course at third level in order to further their education or to gain a qualification. And they might speak about hopefully somewhere down the line getting a good job, maybe gaining some promotion, maybe settling down or getting married after a while. They might aspire to a job that's meaningful and fulfilling, and then retiring and enjoying that season whenever it comes around. And you know, there's nothing wrong with any of those things that I've just mentioned. But as we hear Jesus in our Bible reading map out what lies ahead for him, it is pretty different, isn't it? If you remember back to that reading which Liz read for us a few moments ago, Jesus talked about going to Jerusalem, where he would be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he knows that he's going to be condemned to death. He's going to be turned over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And none of that really sounds like a great career path, does it? And yet that is where Jesus is prepared to go. And we might be sitting here this morning and wondering, why would that be? If we were to ask questions directly of Jesus, we would say, Jesus, why do you want to go to Jerusalem and to do all of that? You have the world at your feet. You could do anything. You could be anything you want to be. You could go anywhere that you want to go. If it was money you were after, you have the skills and the knowledge to make it in huge amounts. If it was fame and recognition that you wanted, or acclaim, again, you could have all of those things in bucket loads simply by doing a few of those miracles and healings that are well within your power to perform. So we might be sitting here scratching our heads and wondering, as we ask Jesus these questions, why would he go down that route to Jerusalem? And I think there are essentially two answers to that question. The first one is that in this new kingdom that we've been thinking about this year, the kingdom of God that Jesus is trying to usher in, Jesus is driven primarily by love for you and for me. And he wants to open a way back for all of us to friendship and connection with God, and giving his life to make that possible is the only way that he can communicate that to us. That is how much you and I matter to him, that he is prepared to go through all these things, the betrayal, the condemnation, the flogging, the mocking, and even death itself, so that we do not have to see those things as being the end point. As he tells us quite clearly in those verses which Liz read for us, on the third day, Jesus said, he would be raised to life. You see, Jesus knows that in this new era of the kingdom, we gain a new perspective. We realize that death is not the end of the story, and that we can ultimately dwell with Jesus in eternity, just as he is about to return to the Father. And with that knowledge within him, Jesus knows that he can give his all, even his very life, to build a new future for all of us, because he knows that he will rejoice in God's nearer presence for all eternity. And so can we. And then later in the passage, we see a mother asking Jesus for a favor. And if you're a parent, it's a very natural favor to ask for. You want your two boys to have a special place on Jesus' right and his left in his kingdom. And again, Jesus' response to that request is quite unexpected. because he says that particular gift is not his to grant, but it is the gift of his Father in heaven. And he goes on to explain something of the nature of what being on his right or on his left would look like. And if we're honest, well, maybe it's not as attractive as we think it should be. Because being on Jesus' right and being on Jesus' left is not about getting what we want or doing what we like or advancing at the expense of others to the privileged positions in life. Jesus talks about those in positions of privilege who have attendants dancing attention over them. A little bit like those sporting figures that we had up there, or the President of the United States. Those who are in these positions of privilege often have lots of people running around paying attention to all of their needs. But Jesus says to his people, to his disciples, not so with you. He said, you're actually to stand for something different in my kingdom. He said, greatness in my kingdom is about service, and it's about giving your life away on behalf of others. And that sounds, again, the opposite of logical. But maybe a story might help to make sense of it. And I'm going to ask Wesley to throw up our third slide. Some people might remember that some years ago, we welcomed to this church the New Beginnings Choir from Uganda. And that choir came and they did a concert over in the church, and it was a wonderful evening when they came. But the choir was made up of boys and girls who'd had a really tough start in life. They were perhaps abandoned or mistreated or abused, and they were left on the streets to survive. But on the streets, they were picked up by a special team. And the founder of that team was a man called Roger Annett from Kilkeel, who'd gone on a few building trips to Uganda and saw the needs of the children on the streets. And what was quite radical and surprising on all sorts of levels was he decided he would try and do something about this need. So he enlisted fundraisers and volunteers, and he bought 8 acres of land near Kampala in Uganda. And he built on the grounds that he had bought an orphanage. And he then recruited some skilled local people to act as house parents and to support these children to get an education, to learn skills, and to learn something of the love of God through the scriptures. And as they were loved and supported, these children began to take responsibility for the younger children amongst them. And in many ways, they loved them back into life. And despite his own health challenges, Roger suffers with MS, and all the constant struggles with finance and administration. I remember at that concert, Roger standing up to speak about the fulfillment of discovering what God wanted him to do with his life. And of course, it's not going to look the same for all of us. It's going to look different for each one of us as God's people seeking to live his kingdom values wherever we are placed. But the question, the fundamental question is the same. And that is, how can we use our talents, our time, our treasure to make a difference in the local community and indeed in the world around us as a church, as individuals? Because it's as we ask that question and as we seek to respond to the prompts that God places within us through his Holy Spirit, it is in that place that true and lasting life is to be found in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's just reflect on these things as we sing our next song, which is a song that reminds us that God is indeed the King of our lives. You still reign, and you're still God.
Foundations have been shaken, left standing in the dark. I feel is my heart breaking. You still reign and you're still God. And it feels all hope has faded. Set so hard, and though my soul may be forsaken, you still reign and you're still God. Though I can't see what's before me, I know that I can trust your heart, and this one truth will be my story. You still reign and you're still God. Declare that you are with me. The voices whisper that you're not. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Cause you still reign and you're still God. Though I can't see what's for me, I know that I can trust your heart, and this one truth will be my story, that you still reign and you're still God. Though I can't see what's before me, I know that I can trust your heart. My enemies surround me, I trust the victory of your cross, and fix my eyes upon you, Jesus, for you are God and I am one. You are good and you are faithful, as you have been from the start. You work in all things for your glory, cause you still reign and you're still God. Though I can't see what's before me, I know that I can trust your heart, and
this one truth will be my story, that you still reign and you're still God.
Let us pray. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Loving God, we come together this morning to worship you, to say that, yes, you are our God, and to be reminded of all you are and all you have done, of the love with which you surround us, the grace you have shown us through Jesus, and the purposes you have for each of our lives. So we come to rejoice in all you have given us. We come in response to your goodness, to offer our love in return and recommit ourselves to your service. We come to worship you in the conviction that you are here with us now, that you are by our side always, that you hold all things and everyone in your arms of love. As we reach out to you, reach out to us, we pray, and fill every moment of every day with the light of your love and the peace of your presence. Lord, in your mercy. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Father, as we bow before you in worship, we pray that you would heal us from all the things that restrict your grace and power from working within us and amongst us. May our hearts be more open to your presence all around us and our wills surrendered to your purpose. Make us brave in our commitment, strong in our faith, sensitive in our listening, committed in our loving, so that more and more our worship and prayers may continuously reach upward to your throne in greater adoration and praise, inward in deeper fellowship and mutual love, and outward into the community in wider compassion and generosity. Lord, in your mercy. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Father God, we are mindful of how much darkness there is in our world. So this morning we pray for all who are hurting, confused, anxious, frightened, or sad. We pray for the weary, those who feel isolated and unloved, those who have lost hope. We pray for the sick, and those awaiting the results of medical tests, all who face this coming week with fear or anxiety. We pray for those who are terminally ill, their loved ones and carers and friends. Lord, to all those in pain and distress, to all those in chaos and turmoil, to all who are restless and troubled, grant your calm, your tranquility, your quietness, and your peace, which passes understanding. Lord, in your mercy. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Loving God, as we leave this place, remind us that even in the midst of our troubles, our hurts and rejections and frustrations, you go with us. You are with us in all the changing circumstances of our lives, in our wealth and poverty, in our yearning and disappointments. You are with us not only in our anger and loss, but also in our joys and satisfactions. You are there in our laughter and successes, and also in our sorrows and failures. When we have to walk in darkness, you are our one true light. When we are lonely, you are our faithful companion. When we are weak, you offer us your strength. When we are restless, you grant us your peace. When we are bitter, you fill us with your forgiveness. So this morning we want to offer you our thanks and praise. We thank you for your generous love and gracious provision. In gratitude, we bring to you the gift of our love and devotion. May we show that love and devotion not only through what we say here in this place, but through what we say and what we do in every part of our lives. Remake, remold, reshape us, Lord. By your grace, redeem us, reclaim and refashion us, and so help us to live as your people, following you faithfully as our Lord and King. Lord, in your mercy. And we sum up all our prayers as we join together in the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And so, mindful of God's presence with us in every aspect of our lives and in everything that we go to do in the week that is to come, we're going to sing together our next song, Holy Overshadowing.
Oh, spread your wings of mercy over me, and guard my heart with true humility. No shadow of the darkness press in, only the holy overshadowing underneath your wings. No refuge will I seek but God alone. No hiding place save only at your throne. Only the cross, the blood to wash my sin. Only the holy shield and my glory. You are the lifter of my head, and though the storms may rage around me, I'll be safe within, beneath the holy overshadowing. No burden on my back too hard to bear. Only the easy load you bid me wear. Until these troubles pass, my heart will see. Praise for the whole. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us in our service today, whether you are at home or whether you're here in the building. It's been great to worship together. Can we ask if people are able and available at the end of the service, if we can just put some chairs at the side for toddlers tomorrow and just rearrange our hall in preparation for toddlers and the upstairs hall in preparation for the evening service. We remind ourselves as we go out into the world as God's people that we're going to pray together this prayer about his presence with us. Let's say together, we go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives as well as our worship be always pleasing in your sight for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you to our musicians for leading us in our worship today and just drawing us into God's holy presence. Let's bow our heads for his blessing as we go out into the world. May Christ, our exalted King, pour on you his abundant gifts, make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Our closing song is the Hymn of Heaven.
How I long to breathe the air. Mercy fills the street. To look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord.
And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang throughout and see it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more.
and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, He is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day,
now, Lord, we ask you to send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen.